Call this meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronner?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Sharon Bono, finance director, Albert Ichave, interim police chief, Jack Ernest, fire chief, and Carl, city attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation tonight. Some of the words are from the Associated Press on a story on March the 10th of this year, and some are my words. The Associated Press wrote a story of the bombing of Tokyo on the night of March the 9th, 1945, 70 years ago this month, recounting the horror of that night where over 100,000 people were killed with tens of thousands burned alive. We must remember the horrors of war, no matter where it occurs, so as to end it. So many of the victims are women, children, and the elderly, and for that matter, everyone. And so to the victims of the Tokyo firebombing 70 years ago this month, and to the innocent victims of war throughout the centuries, let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I have one proclamation to read tonight. This is something that I presented to the Kiwanis Club, the regional meeting on February the 21st of this year, and I will read it. Whereas Kiwanis International is one of the largest service organizations in the world, with more than 600,000 members of all ages and abilities in more than 80 nations, and whereas the members of the Kiwanis Club of Bisbee are devoted to improving the world, one child and one community at a time, by seeking primacy to the human and spiritual rather than the material values of life, and whereas in addition to improving lives, Kiwanis Club members promote the development of community leaders, positive role models, intercultural understanding and cooperation, and opportunities for fellowship, personal growth, professional development, and community service. And whereas the first Kiwanis Club started its service in Detroit, Michigan, USA in 1915, and whereas Kiwanis International celebrates its centennial anniversary of the founding of the Detroit Kiwanis Club, number one, and whereas the service provided by the Kiwanis Club of Bisbee will continue to have a positive impact on our community and citizens, which was chartered February the 19th, 1924, 91 years ago. Therefore, I, Ron Ertley, Mayor of Bisbee, do hereby proclaim this February the 21st, 2015, as Kiwanis International Day, and hereby call upon all citizens and officials of the City of Bisbee thereof to render support to the members of this organization and to make themselves aware of Kiwanis International, whose members this day are providing meaningful service to our home, schools, and community. So in witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the City of Bisbee to be affixed on this, the 21st day of February, 2015. And I will present that to a member of the Kiwanis Club sitting right next to me, Councilmember Shirley Dowdy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next, we will go to call to the public. Nicholas Knight.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Nicholas Knight, 306 Shattuck Street, Bisbee, Arizona. Got some interesting things on the agenda. I am lacking a little bit of information as far as the ambulance goes, but if it is to replace an existing ambulance, I'm wondering what the situation is in terms of, is it too old, is it not repairable, because it's obviously simpler to keep a hold of and keep repairing a piece of machinery that we know what to do with, providing it's still serviceable. If we're buying a new ambulance, is it going to replace something or not? If it's going to replace something, and that's the more economically viable, that's good, but I ask that you look into the economic viability of that, and is it really cheaper to buy something than to repair what we already have? If it is to add to the existing fleet, I'd like to know why. I never actually have heard a satisfying explanation of how much money we're supposed to be making off the ambulance runs anyway. So are we missing calls? Are we missing enough calls to pay for this new ambulance, and we're missing enough calls to pay for this ambulance and more, because we want to actually turn a profit, not just go even. And by that, I mean, are we talking about the net or the gross on how much we're missing? And I've got some more details here in terms of the various costs that go into it. Is the ambulance that we're thinking about buying new, or is it used? If it's used, what is the warranty? How is the equipment? How up-to-date is the equipment? What's the warranty on the equipment? What supplies come with the equipment? Who's going to pay for the checking on the equipment? And you start to see how maybe working with the devil we already have, unless we actually, by your findings, need a new ambulance, might be the cheaper way to go. Given the fiscal realities of the situation, I expect you guys, as keepers of the public purse, to look into this before you take action. So I think there's going to be some more work needed on this one. As far as the pool goes, please just do what you can to extend the hours and extend the season. I have heard from, 49, 52 people over the course of last year how much they enjoyed it, visitors and locals alike, and the only thing that I heard that was negative was they wished the season had been longer. It closed a little too quickly, opened a little too late. So if we could do something like that, it really benefits the whole community. And I haven't been privy to the executive sessions, but I'm quite interested in what's going on with the current city attorney situation, and if there's information about a problem or whatever, I'd like to know what's going on, because as far as I can tell from the surfaces, Ms. Carl's been doing a great job, and so unless there's a reason to remove her, I don't see why we need to do something different and have the cost of finding a new one on and on and on. So I'm going to let these get passed around once I give them over to Ashley, and thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Next we have Al Anderson.
Good evening. Al Anderson, West Boulevard, Bisbee, Arizona. I just want to let you know what you're losing when Ann Carl leaves as your attorney. She is dedicated to serving this town. Collectively, she and I have lived here for 43 years. She and I have made substantial investments in this town's future. We are not looking for jobs or submitting resumes to live anywhere else. We are here for the long haul. Aside from possibly your mayor and council, you will never find anyone who has looked after the city's best interests, possibly to her own demise, more than Anne. We are both want to continue to serve Bisbee any way we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Peter von Gunlock.
Peter von Gunlock, Warren, 327 McLaren Avenue. I wanted to wish everybody a very happy St. Patty's Day, and also perhaps bring some information about St. Patty's Day momentarily. While we believe St. Patty's Day is purely Irish or even Irish-American, in Mexico they celebrate it twice a year, as opposed to us celebrating it only once. In Mexico, they celebrate it, of course, today, at which time there's a meeting at the Palacio Gubernamental of the presidential palace, and there's a roll call being done. And at that roll call, they're reading off the names of Irishmen that had, as well as others, because there were some other groups as well, but mostly Irish, reading off this roll call of people that had sacrificed their lives for Mexico. And then again, on September 12th, in Churubusco, oh, incidentally, Mexico is one of the few Latin American countries that has a full-time culture of bagpipe. And they, to them, that's a very important ritual of playing bagpipes as well. In Churubusco was the site of a decisive battle during the 1847 with the Brigadas de San Patricio. This is the St. Patrick's Brigade. A movie was made about it. It was called One Man's Hero. And these were people who had left and deserted the U.S. Army when we invaded Mexico because they were Catholics, and they felt that the destruction and desecration of the Catholic churches and so forth was more than they could handle, since most of them were Irish. And so as a consequence, after losing this major battle, the soldiers that were captured or recaptured were, all, of course, now being tried and to be hung on September 12th. And of those, about 40 of them were sentenced to be hung, and about 10 of them had been claimed as prisoners of war by the Mexicans and the Irish. In other words, they were captured. So instead of being hung, they were offered the choice of being fusilado, killed in a firing squad. So regardless, it was a no-win situation for these folks. And again, on September 12th at the Presidential Palace, they reread the same names, the same roles of the people that died. And after every name is called, they say, y murió para México. So this is sort of another part of the culture that many people don't recognize and don't look at. Well, St. Patrick's Day for us is a day of remembrance and of the important contributions that Irish have provided for us. In Mexico, it has a much deeper meaning. I have one other thought. Based on the ambulance, I just heard the discussion on that. I sometimes think we have our priorities mixed up. We don't have a problem buying two brand new pickup trucks to haul trash, but when it comes to buying a new ambulance that saves people's lives, we're now quibbling about whether it should be a used one or a new one. I think we should have the very best equipment to guarantee the safety of our citizens and our employees, and I don't think that's even something negotiable. When it's time to buy an ambulance, we buy a new ambulance and buy the very best because our lives are at stake in the process. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have two people coming up, Susan Blackford and Nina Schultz.
Good evening. Susan Blackford, Warren area.
Ms. Blackford?
Oh, you keep forgetting. I'm sorry, you guys. Thank you very much. Okay. Good evening. Susan Blackford, Warren area. Nina Schultz, San Jose area. Along with Peter, I have Irish heritage, so I do want to extend happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. I just wanted to state 3 points only this evening that have not been covered before. Number one, someone stated that they were afraid that we would challenge all that you do. Well, have we done that? No. You will be challenged only when you pass bad legislation with no public forum for discussion and taxation or fee without a vote of the people. Number two, Donna Pulling, at the last council meeting, March 3rd, stated, have we not noticed how there are fewer plastic bags around the city and how she did not pick up one bag from Safeway to the transfer center in her three white big plastic bags? Then, like overnight, all these plastic bags started to appear with water bottles all over the town. It looks like to a lot of us that it's being staged. Haven't you all noticed that? Our board director, Nina, started looking closer at all the bags and took pictures with her camera. She will give the council just a few of the hundreds that are all over and she has taken pictures of. No, to Serena, please. Thank you. And we will mail you several others that shows bags being tied on as well. What did we see? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that there is a lot of bags out there. I took a lot of pictures. It's come from one Warren area, Bisbee. And it's just, you can tell they've been tied on, fixed. And there's more bags out there than you can imagine, water bottles than you can think of. And I got good pictures, and I will be sending them to you.
Thank you.
Nina and Florence and I are asking, who is doing this? Not us. Who would benefit from doing this? So inquiring minds want to know. So as a committee, we are offering $100 reward per person of a legitimate pictures or pictures taken of who is out there doing this. Number three, it has amazed a lot of us in town that councilperson Joan Hansen, who stated in her July 31, 2014 Bisbee Observer that she is a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, and then she just voted 2 weeks ago at the city council meeting not to let you, the voters, vote, a constitutional right that I believe she was sworn to protect. Therefore, tonight, we have submitted to the city clerk a new petition that states the following. The city of Bisbee shall not ban any type of retail bags, food utensils, containers, water bottles, and any bottles of any kind, sodas, or other retail items without submitting such a ban to the people for an approved vote. The city of Bisbee shall not set a minimum price or use tax or fee on any retail items without submitting such actions to avoid to a vote of the people. It is now turned into a civil liberties issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $325,454.02.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions? No questions. We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $325,454.02. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda with two items, A and B, and I will read those. Approval of the minutes of the work session of the mayor and council held on January the 20th, 2015 at 5:30 p.m.
I move to approve the minutes of the work session of mayor and council held on January 20, 2015 at 5:30 p.m.
Thank you. Item number B on that is approval of the minutes of the special session of mayor and council held on March the 10th, 2015 at 5:30 p.m. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A and B.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A and B. And Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Doughty?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible approval of reading and adoption of Ordinance O-15-02, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property, Parcel A, a portion of public right-of-way in Block 26 of Bisbee Townsite located near 5B Moon Canyon. Ms. Carl.
Yes, Mayor. Thank you. This is the final step, along with the deed that goes with it, that you'll be giving approval for as well when you vote to approve this item. This is the non-controversial parcel at issue.
Any comments or questions from the council?
I move we adopt Ordinance 01502, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property, Parcel A, a portion of public right-of-way in Block 26, a Bisbee town site located near 5B Moon Canyon.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Doughty?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number four. Presentation of the Bisbee Fire Department 2014 Annual Report, Chief Jack Ernest, Fire Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. As stated on the Bisbee City Code 4.2.2B.9, the Bisbee Fire Department Chief and Officers submit to you our 2014 annual report. This report contains information on activity
which took place during the 2014 calendar year within the Bisbee Fire Department. This report is comprised of information which includes fire department operations, EMS operations, training, business inspections, new employees, fire department vehicles, and fire department calls for service. I don't know if you had the opportunity to go through the report, but I can just touch on a few highlights I think that are important in the report this year. One of the first topics was the fire department new employees. This year, the Bisbee Fire Department hired 5 new employees, not new positions, but replaced positions as people left. The 5 new employees' positions were hired in the capacity of firefighter EMT and firefighter paramedic. These positions were filled throughout the 2014 calendar year due to 3 resignations, 1 termination, and 1 retirement. Reasons for people resigning were seeking other employment, better paying jobs, and seeking employment with more job security. That's just some of the comments we get from the employees. And then we had a copy of our organizational chart, which was included in the report. Fire department operations. A lot hasn't changed with the fire department operations other than in the portion that talks about the Uniform Fire Code. It's now the International Fire Code that was adopted, as you recall, about 6 months ago or so by the city. So we've changed from the Uniform Fire Code to the International Fire Code, as in the other codes for the city. They're real similar. They're just a little more in-depth than the regular codes. Do you have any questions on the operations?
Any questions from the council?
Okay. EMS operations. EMS operations of the city of Bisbee provides advanced life support, as well aware, which means that we provide paramedic care for citizens and interfacility transfers to service in Tucson. Our CON, which the fire department covers 400 square miles, which is a pretty large area. It encompasses Highway 80 east to the Paul Line plant going toward Douglas, Highway 80 west to Milepost 326 or Government Draw going toward Tombstone, Highway 92 east to the San Pedro River, and Highway 90 west to the San Pedro River, and anything in between there. So that's our coverage, which is probably a population of about 8,000 to 10,000 actual people, 12,000 people if you count everybody out in that area. Our EMS program continues to strive with a lot more advanced stuff that we've been doing. Mark Bernalite, who's our captain in charge of EMS, does a really good job. This time we have 4 paramedics and 15 EMTs that provide ambulance service for the city. We have 2 personnel in paramedic class right now. They're going to graduate in October, so that will increase our paramedics to 6. And because about 95% of our call load is ALS, it's essential to have paramedics on staff.
Chief, could I ask one quick question?
Sure.
We have 4 paramedics right now. What do you think is the perfect amount for the city of Bisbee and the surrounding area?
Well, to be honest with you, if you could have about 80% of your personnel paramedic, because we almost every call is ALS call.
Okay.
You know, anytime you have to provide any type of service or any care for a patient that involves any type of drug therapy or narcotics or cardiac arrest or stuff like that, that's all done with paramedic. And it's, you know, we try to have a medic on every call when we have calls in Bisbee. So
and let me follow this up with this is for public consumption. Inside the city of Bisbee, the ambulance service essentially has a 3 to 5 minute response time. Would that be a fair?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
One of the
Councilmember Hanson.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, on the certificate of necessity, has that changed at all, or is that the same as it was?
It's the same.
Okay.
It's the same. We've had that for, well, gosh, since 1990.
Okay.
The CON.
Thank you.
You know, they may tweak the boundaries a little bit depending on if they get other agencies requesting some tweaking, but it's pretty much the same. One of the things that we're excited about as far as our EMS operations, and thanks to our city manager, is we're going to upgrade all of our medic units to what we call toughbooks. And we're going to have onboard computers on our ambulances so that we can do all of our reporting electronically. And that's the trend. And that's something that this will allow us to conform to the accepted standard of care expected of our department. So all of our medics will be equipped with those tough books. They are, we have received them, and they're in the process of being uploaded with all the software, and we're really excited about. We won't have to do any more manual PCRs on the patients and stuff, it's all going to be done over the computer. So that's, which then can be sent directly to fire department for our billing. So that's really exciting. So thanks to our city manager. He is instrumental in helping us get those. So I want to thank him. Business inspections. This year we saw about 80 business inspections. I think it was down from 84 last year. It fluctuates depending on businesses that come into Bisbee, whether it's for a new business or a change of owner or a change of business type. We go out and do the business inspection, which is good for our department because it's actually training for the guys. They can get out and inspect the businesses and actually drop pre-plans on the businesses so they're aware of what's going on in those businesses. So that's kind of a training. Our efficiency report with the fire department. We try to be efficient, as everybody does, with how we do business. Of course, in here we talk about, you know, replacing three firefighter positions that we lost in the last few years, and we just do that because we feel that someday we may be able to do that to cut on our overtime and stuff like that. We talk about a new fire station for Station 82 uptown, which that fire station is a 1990 International, so it needs to be replaced, and we're looking into proceeding forward with that. Cardiac monitors, turnouts, SCBAs, a lot of the stuff that has gotten old and is requested or NFPA requires that you try to upgrade those when you can. All of this we have included in our FEMA grant this year that we've applied for. We've applied for about $658,000 worth of equipment. It's a pretty good bang for our buck. If we were to get awarded all that, it would be a 5% match. It would cost the city about $35,000 for $658,000 worth of equipment. So in that is also an ambulance, too, and a fire truck. So we got to keep trying. You know, we've been able to get a fire truck before. We've gotten turnouts before, but it doesn't happen very often. But we're trying. We're trying. So the next thing is a probationary firefighter, and if you have any questions about that, but that's just what we do when we hire new firefighters. We make sure that they pass probation so that they can provide all the necessary functions of the fire department. Captain Castillo is in charge of that. The next portion of this is our caller, which I think is interesting. I want to point out a few things on the caller. This year, or 2014, we ran 800 911 calls. 2013, when we ran 824, so that was down 24 calls. Interfacility transfers. 2014, we did 411. 2013, we did 390. And of those 411, there was 295 that were taken by Arizona Ambulance. And there's multiple reasons why that happens. Not only because we may be short on personnel, or we have an ambulance in Tucson already, or we have an ambulance broken down, which is not uncommon. We have very aged vehicles, and that's our next thing we're going to be talking about. So what happened here is we actually ran 145 more alarms in 14 than we did in 13. And, you know, it tends to fluctuate. Your EMS is pretty common. That usually you might fluctuate 10 or 15 or 20 calls a year, but we see an increase every year, especially on EMS. So, you know, the population is getting older. We're having to transport a lot more patients out of town from the Copper Queen Hospital. It's not uncommon for us to get as many as 7 requests in one 24-hour shift to take a patient to Tucson or Sierra Vista. I think 2 days ago we ran 17 calls in one day, and I think 4 of them were interfacility transfers. Yesterday we ran 12 calls, and we had 3 more interfacility transfers. So it's very active. There's a lot going on, and that's just the nature of the beast of the fire department. So. And I have to say that you know, these guys do a lot of hard work. They're up a lot of hours, and they provide a good service for the city, and I'm real proud of them because, you know, in doing that, they do a good job, and they're proud of what they do. And you can see it by the run load that we have, and it's they're very busy. They really are. So, and then the last thing is we put a graph together, a pie chart that would show our actual activity, and you can kind of compare of what it looks like, and certainly EMS is 42.9%, it says here, of all of our call loads, so we stay very busy on the fire department. And that's about all I have. If you have any questions, certainly I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Council Member Klein.
Chief, on as you're talking about the calls and stuff, down here there's patient transfer home. That is actually giving a patient a ride home after they've already been taken to the
ER. That's correct. A lot of times, but some of the calls are maybe for a person that needs to go to the hospital for an unknown reason. It's not always an emergent reason, but it's they're non-ambulatory, so they can't get to the hospital. You know, a lot of times we'll have people get into their cars and they can drive them to the hospital. A lot of the time these people cannot even walk or move, so we have to actually physically move them, put them on a gurney and take them to the hospital. And then they have no means to get home, so we take them back home. And it's another call. I mean, they're charged for that service. It's not a free ride. We have to charge for that. So, but in order to be paid for those, we have to make sure that we get a script written by the doctor that says they have to be transported by ambulance, because your insurances and your Medicare and your accesses are real funny about that. If they feel that they can be transported by other means that they don't, then they won't pay the bill. So we make sure that we have all that signed so we can get paid on that.
Okay. I don't know too many departments that will actually care enough to return a patient home, so I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Chief, just a quick comment. I've had people come up to me and say to me, if it had not been for you guys, they would not be alive today. And I know that you are greatly appreciated. You and all your people that work in the fire department, the ambulance service, our hats off to you. We're very proud of you, and we're lucky to have you guys.
Thank you, Mayor. One more bit of information, Mayor, if I may. One of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot is revenues that's brought in by the ambulance service. It's something that's important, I think, only because it goes into the general fund and it provides for the general fund.
Yeah.
And I believe this last year, the ambulance service brought in $965,000. It's just right under $1 million. And that's pretty close to what happens usually every year. So they do a lot of work. They spend a lot of time 2-3 o'clock in the morning transporting back and forth to Tucson. So there is some money. We realize some money out of doing this. So.
Well, one other comment. With that heavy load, how do these guys get any time off?
Slim and none.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't. But they keep going and going. And they're like the Energizer bunny. They keep going. But they do a good job. We're proud of them.
Okay. Mayor, any other questions or comments from
Mayor,
the council member Dunn?
Yes, I'd like to spend a little more time discussing the I certainly likewise echo my admiration for your staff, firemen and ambulance in terms of the service they provide. Certainly I had the opportunity to, when I first came on the council a year and a half ago, to spend a day with you and educating myself on the operation of the fire department. I think it's extremely important that citizens, all citizens, have the opportunity to become more aware. And I'd like to review some things, if I may, here with you in terms of doing that. I understand that there are people watching this, watching us over cable, and I would like to use this opportunity to kind of, in essence, make people aware of our fire department. Certainly, we're going to be facing a very tight budget in this coming budget, and I think citizens and council need to be very much actively involved in analyzing and making budget choices. Certainly that begins with understanding how we now function, and certainly your report is very, very, very helpful in doing that. We need to ask ourselves, what level of service do we want, and are we willing to pay for that? I certainly encourage everyone who is listening to download your report and read it. I think it's extremely important reading for all of us as we move into budget. Certainly, I think everyone's aware that 60% of our total city budget goes to public safety. Certainly, it's a very large part of our budget. I think we're facing in this coming year a significant increase in public safety retirement. I believe there's an increase projected of $200,000 increase for the firemen in terms of retirement, which will be an increase from $560,000 to $760,000, and a similar amount in terms of the police department. The fiscal year 2015 budget for the fire department was $1,950,000. And as you indicated, we collect ambulance fees somewhere in the order of $950,000. That leaves then basically a cost to taxpayers of a little over $1 million. And I think one way of kind of understanding that is if you divide that number by 5,500, the number of residents in this community, we're talking about $200 per person per year to support our fire department. And probably even more effective way of describing this is looking at the number, dividing that number by the number of households. And that comes with something on the order of $400 per household in terms of support of our fire department. A couple of questions. What is our ISO insurance rating?
It's a 6.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Certainly it was interesting that the Sierra Vista dispatch carried a series of articles in the last month reviewing fire departments in the county. And it listed everyone else's ISO, but not Bisbee's. They certainly had featured articles on Fry, on Sierra Vista, the Whetstone and Palominas, and I would like, in preparation for our upcoming budget, that we do something similar in terms of a thorough review of our fire department. Certainly looking at the organizational chart, it is divided into three 24-hour shifts of 6 people. Please explain for everyone why 6.
The reason we have 6 people on staff is should we get an ambulance call, 3 people respond. So that leaves 3 people left to cover any other calls. We do have 1 person on call when we have 6, and our minimum staffing is 5. We have 5 people working that day. We have 2 people on call for the simple fact that if we do an interfacility transfer, we can still keep 5 people in town. And so EMS calls, we send 3 people on any EMS call. Depending on the EMS call, they could request more help. Should it be a motor vehicle accident with more patients or a cardiac arrest, we send both stations to help.
Okay. Would you also explain then also what that means, an on-call person?
Our on-call person is we did that because of our staffing, because of our interfacility transfers.
Correct.
If we have 5 people on duty that day, because we also have to remember that we have people that either have to take sick time or have to take PTO or whatever other emergencies, they're away from work. So in order to replace those people, we have an on-call person that actually is on call. They actually can be at home. They're paid 5 hours to be on call, and they're paid any other time they spend in the fire department. So whenever we get an interfacility transfer that requires 2 people to leave town, those 2 people, if there's 2 on call, come and sit, stand by at the station for any other calls.
Likewise, if I understand, and able to enter a building that's on fire, to fight a fire, you need to have at least 4 people on in terms of making sure that is staffed to that level.
That's correct.
Other fire departments, as I've been, again, looking at the coverage that was in the dispatch as well as looking at other city departments, it seems like other cities make heavy use of reserve firefighters and EMTs, and why don't we?
Funny you should ask that question. We've had that discussion with the city manager, and we're looking into possibly doing something like that, maybe a reserve program or something like that. We can possibly bring people in to help do our interfacility transfers. If we can hire some EMTs or paramedics and use them as a transfer crew, then that's a possibility. And in turn, what that does is it frees up some of our personnel, and we can actually have people do our transfers. And if you hire those people and they're not considered full-time personnel, then you don't have to pay any benefits for them. But in return, we get the return from the interfacility transfers.
Again, please indulge me, because I think this is important for our listeners to understand as we move into this budget season here in terms of really understanding. I mean, it was really enlightening to me when I spent the day with you. You indicated that the Bisbee Fire Department is the only department in Cochise County that does both 911 and critical care interfacility transfers. Why? How did this come to be?
Well, the Bisbee Fire Department started doing interfacility transfers, and a lot of departments just don't do it. Well, for example, Douglas, Sierra Vista, Fry, they stay so busy running regular 911 calls that it's just something they would have to actually create a different
portion of the department doing the facilities. That's why Arizona Ambulance does their facility transfers, because they run so many. You got to remember one thing is Douglas, you know, has a population of, what, 12,000 to 15,000 people, and Sierra Vista is 52,000 or whatever. So their call load is 10 times what our call load. Even though we run 2,500 calls a year, they run much more calls and their population. You know, Douglas, for example, Douglas covers 1,500 square miles. They go all the way to the New Mexico border. That's what their CON is. So they don't do interfacility transfer because they stay busy. But word has it, they are attempting to get their interfacility back because they can see that they can make money doing that. And they are trying to do that. So
I'm very pleased to see that we've gone to electronic computer. That certainly seems to be an obvious benefit in terms of the tough, you call it the tough book, rather than manual. You indicate that the Bisbee Fire Department is the most highly educated and trained in the state. But as I look back over our budget, we spent $761 in training in 2013, $3,000 in 2014, and we have $8,000 budgeted for 2015. How do we get all this training done?
Well,
for peanuts.
A lot of you're right, because our base hospital in Sierra Vista provides a lot of our training, and we don't have to pay for it. Okay. Our EMS system is one of the highest qualified systems in the area, simply because we're so rural. We provide some of the skills that they don't even provide in Sierra Vista, and we've been allowed to do that by our base hospital. Okay, you know, we used to not be able to transport people that we used to hang blood or nitro drip, stuff like that. We do that now. We do what's called RSI, rapid sequential intubation. If a person is down and does not have an airway, but they have a gag reflex, our medics can actually sedate them and put them out and actually give them an airway. That doesn't happen. You know, they allow us to do that through our base hospital. So a lot of that stuff comes through our base hospital. We don't have to pay for it. Now, as far as our training, you're going to see this year there's more spent because they have a person in medic school, and we're hoping to do that next year again, which costs about anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000 to $10,000 a year for a medic to send them to school. So we're trying to be efficient and do a lot of our training and do it through our base hospital.
Okay. Moving on to business inspections. You indicated that you got three fire marshals one fire marshal and three fire inspectors. We did 80 inspections. What percent of that, more or less, were new businesses and change of ownership, and how many were existing businesses?
Well, I really don't have that number in front of me. I can certainly find out and let you know, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. We probably receive a business request for an inspection or a new business probably about every other day. At least we get faxed to the station and we do a business inspection. So it's hard to say. It's a mixture of all.
How would a person make a request to have an inspection of their property or to request that a neighboring property be inspected?
Just call the fire department or call City Hall. I mean, if you call 4110, and we can certainly get somebody out there to take a look at if you have a problem.
I think it would be wise as part of a community policing program that if we periodically had firemen on the streets to actually go into businesses and observe. You know, we've got some businesses that have been in business a long time, may not have had a fire person inside them in some time, and that would be something that I would like to recommend. It certainly also would get officers, firemen, in communicating with our public. Also, the building inspector also does home inspections in terms of which I just went through myself in terms of which is fire related.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicles. You have two rescue trucks. The rescue truck is a vehicle that often follows the ambulance, correct?
Yes.
Would you explain the function of that vehicle in that matter?
Sure. We have actually one rescue truck. That rescue truck carries all the necessary equipment for any type of, not only does it carry some firefighting equipment, but it also carries rescue equipment. It carries our jaws of life if we have to cut people out of cars. It carries generators. It carries lighting. It carries Stokes basket in case we have to bring somebody down off of a mountain. So it's kind of all-around vehicle. It has a generator with scene lighting as well.
And it's policy that the rescue truck goes out with all ambulance calls, or who makes that choice?
It's policy. All? Okay. Yes, that's our third person that responds on that unit.
Also, you list there's 15 vehicles. Where in the heck do you keep these?
Well, we try to keep them under, you know, inside the station. Every once in a while, you'll see one or two outside, but we try to house them inside because almost all of our vehicles are plugged in. We plug them in, all of our ambulances and fire trucks, so that we can keep the ambulances and the fire trucks that are diesel, keep them warm. It reduces your wear and tear on your vehicles. Plus, during the wintertime when we go on an ambulance call, if we go right across the street, the water and the antifreeze in the vehicle is warm, so we have instant heaters for the people that are in the vehicles. So, but yeah, we try to house as many as we can inside, but every once in a while you'll see one or two outside.
I can see, obviously, with the number of vehicles that we have limited space.
It's pretty tight sometimes.
Right. Certainly was when I was there visiting. We have before us later in this agenda, I guess the next agenda item, a request for an ambulance, and it looks like on your list that we now have 4 ambulances, a rescue truck, and 2 support vehicles. Do we ever trade in or sell a vehicle?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, that'll be coming up on the next agenda. I know we'll talk about what we're going to do with the other vehicle and why we're purchasing it. So, yeah, we do. We'll have to get rid of one of the ambulances once we get, because we don't have a place to store them for one thing, and we'll need to store it inside.
You indicate that we have a 2,000-gallon water tender that you said is used primarily by public works, and certainly communities, particularly rural fire districts, the water truck seems to be a critical part of a fire protection. We have the luxury in Bisbee that all areas of town are adequately covered by hydrant water. Is that?
That's correct. Within the city limits, we have a lot of fire hydrants. I think there's 96 up in Old Bisbee, and then that's on the non-potable system, and then we have hydrants in Warren and San Jose that are on the Arizona Water Company.
Also, there are 2 vehicles that are not listed here. I had the opportunity here recently to be introduced to the 2 original motorized fire engines that were purchased by the city of Bisbee in 1917, and they're in remarkably original condition, and I was really quite impressed with what I saw, and I hope at some point in the future we'll have an opportunity to display those. I mean, I'm just not aware of any matched trucks of that vintage and that good original condition.
We keep those up at the pump house, and
correct.
We certainly have talked about it many times to try to restore one of those, but it's really expensive to do that, so
right.
It hasn't been a priority at this time.
They're in remarkable condition as present. At what point would it be less costly to hire more personnel and able to reduce overtime? Have we ever had an analysis on that? I mean, you've talked about that, but I'd like to have some analysis on that, I guess.
Well, we are going to work on that, hopefully this upcoming budget. I know that this past year we attempted to put 2 more people on call so that we could cover the interfacility transfers. It worked good because we were able to take back-to-back transfers to Tucson, 2 at one time, and be able to leave enough staff in town to cover Bisbee. But the overtime, by doing that, kind of outrode the transfers, because what you have to understand is when we bill for ambulance service, the turnaround isn't right away, and there's some delay when we get returns on our ambulance.
Correct.
So I don't think we did it long enough to truly see something like that, but certainly, you know, we've looked at that, and if we continue to do the transfers and provide the service, we're going to need to look at that in the future.
Certainly your statistics I always find quite interesting, and it's remarkable to me how consistent they are year to year. I mean, it was interesting that your statistics for this year were very similar to last year in terms of 800 911 transfers, transports, and that certainly, you know, I live close to the hospital. I hear that ambulance coming and going, and certainly they're out, you know, it's every day. Been an average of 2 a day is what your responses are in terms of those numbers. 411 interfacility transfers to another hospital, 48 motor vehicle accidents you responded to, 8 structural fires compared to 9 last year, 6 vehicle fires compared to 6 last year. It seems like the biggest difference was, as you indicated, the interfacility transfer, and I believe you were incorrect when you said that the 295 that went to Arizona Ambulance was part of the 411. I believe that 411, if I added up my numbers correctly, you responded to 411 calls?
Yeah, there right. was over 700 transfers.
Right.
We did
correct,
411.
Correct. Yeah. You said otherwise there. Okay, Bear, I wanted to clarify that. And certainly we did discuss this, I think, a year ago in terms of council, in terms of our relationship with Arizona Ambulance and the importance of having two ambulance services here that are strong in terms of meeting the needs of our hospital, and so that's certainly an interesting statistic. Well, anyway, I thank you and the council here. I thought this was an opportunity that I wanted to take involve citizens in a greater understanding of our fire department, and I really encourage everyone in terms of listeners to read your report and to be ready to make input. You got action right now.
Oh boy. Never stops.
Because we are going to have to make some hard decisions, frankly, sure, in terms of moving into budget, and I would like citizens to be aware of an understanding of our fire department and be ready to make choices in terms of what level of service do we want and how are we going to pay for that. I thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
I'd like to make one.
Council Member Sullivan.
Well, Doug pretty much covered it all there. Thank you. I wanted to also echo the great appreciation that I have for the fire department and all that you do in keeping people healthy and safe and getting them to the hospital on time. It's super important. So thank you very much. Thank you. I second what he was saying. It's a great idea to look into the reserve firefighters because that is a big concern with the overtime for the interfacility transfers especially. And I also think a cost-benefit analysis of specifically the inter-facility transfers versus the overtime that goes into that is really crucial, especially before we make any decisions to buy more ambulances. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments from the council? Okay, we'll go to item number five. Item number five, discussion of possible approval of a contract with Braun Northwest Incorporated for the purchase of an ambulance. Once again, Chief Ernest.
Thank you, Mayor. We had put out a request for proposal to purchase a new ambulance, Type 3 Class 1 rear dual-wheel ALS ambulance. Again, Mr. Johnson got with us and saw our needs, and we came together and decided we needed to we would like to try to purchase a new ambulance. And the reason is you know, we have four ambulances right now, and certainly they get well used. And it's not only about providing the service to the citizens or taking people to the hospital and stuff, but it's also providing a safe piece of equipment for my personnel that provides that service. Let me give you an example of our current equipment that we have and what we are using right now. Okay, we have a 1999 Type 3 ambulance uptown. It's got 270,666 miles on it. We have a 2004, which is Medic 82, that has 310,000 miles on it. We have a Medic 811, which is a 2007, has 293,000 miles on it. And our newest ambulance, which is a 2010, has 74,119 miles on it. Now, what we're doing is we're in dire straits. We need an ambulance simply because, as you heard, the first three have almost, well, at 300,000 miles on. And the reason this happens is I got to give credit to my personnel. You know, we maintain the heck out of our ambulances for this because we know we can't always buy equipment. And so, you're talking 310,000 miles on an ambulance, and that's just not on the motor. That's on the drivetrain, and that's on the box, and that's on everything else. So they tend to get loose and rattling and stuff after a while, but we continue to use them. You know, it gets to a point where you got to replace that stuff because, you know, that's part of our equipment and part of our tools that provides a service for the city and provides a service for our patients and people, not only in Bisbee but out of town on transfers. And so we come to you today requesting the purchase, which would be a lease purchase of a new ambulance, which I think is very needed on the fire department. We're certainly not doing this because we're adding to our fleet. We're going to replace one of our ambulances, and it's an essential function. We have to have an ambulance to provide that service.
So if we approve this, which ambulance goes down?
Well, we'd like to get rid of our 1999, but that's been our workhorse. That's the ambulance that never breaks down. I won't say nothing yet. But probably one of the 2004, 2007. One of the 2004, as we speak right now, is in Sierra Vista with engine problems right now. So we're actually down to three ambulances in town.
Is there a state law of some sort that says ambulances have to be decommissioned at a certain point in time? I don't know how that works.
Well, I don't know if there's a state law, but I'm sure you could find an OSHA requirement or recommendation on driving ambulances so long, but we just don't have that luxury. We just take care of what we have and drive it as long as we can.
Yeah. So. Any other questions or comments from the council? Council member Dunn.
Pardon me.
That's right.
I was disappointed there was not specs. Normally when we have something before us, there's more detail than I can understand in terms of what we're, what we're contracting for, and there's nothing here. And I'm kind of reluctant to vote on this this evening without that.
Certainly, I guess, by historically, last time we purchased an ambulance, we didn't have the specs in there either. We did it the same way. I have specs on all the units, and here's the one that we're recommending as far as the specs and the warranties and everything on the ambulance. And we've studied this for 2 months to make sure that we're purchasing the right one for the fire department. Certainly, we've gone through all the vendors that we've had, four vendors that put in a bid, and this is the one we've determined would best fit our need and as far as the best for the money. We reviewed it not only ourselves, but with our officers and our lieutenants in charge of the vehicles, and we went through all the specifications on them.
Well, I think it's just as good to share with council and citizens in terms of what are we buying for this sum of money here. I think we certainly support the need of, we realize how important the ambulance is, and it's amazing what our service load is here. I mean, 800 calls, 911 calls a year is just, is mind-boggling to me.
Well, and I thought, I guess we could provide this, which, talks about, every portion of the ambulance, the armrest and the lights and the tubular that they use to build the box. And, I mean, it goes into specific details on all that. And we reviewed a lot, everything on these things as in-depth as we could. And it really spells out every little detail of the ambulance, and they've all done that. So, I mean, certainly you're welcome to look at it, but I was hoping that we could get approval tonight to go forward with this, because it's going to take probably about 6 months to get an ambulance, because they're so the company that we want to purchase it from, because it's got to be specially built. It's got to be built. Bisbee, we can't just buy an ambulance off the floor, because we requested a certain size because of the turning problems up in Old Bisbee and stuff like that. And certainly from this company alone that we're purchasing it from, they had an order of 119 ambulances from Los Angeles County that they're building from this company. So it's a real popular company.
I'm going to go to Council Member Klein first, and then we'll go to you. Council Member Klein.
First of all, I just want to say that I know we drive the heck out of our ambulances, and the fact that we keep them up and running as long as we do shows, how the department is fiscally responsible, because we can't replace them very often. And and the 2007 you said is currently in the shop?
Yes.
I think we can all look back and see that we have our ambulances in the shop quite a bit, and when they are in the shop, we can't be out on runs, which cuts down, of course, on revenue. But I'm glad that you brought up the fact that they are specially built, because a lot of people don't realize that. We can't just get run-of-the-mill ambulances and fire engines and things like that because of our roads and conditions and things here. And just, judging by the miles that we put on there, I know that Ritchie Brothers and a couple of other auction places, if you look on them and you see the ambulances and the fire trucks, sometimes they only have 50,000 miles on them, and they're already getting rid of them because they feel that they've already, their lifespan is already up, and or they'll go by hours, X amount of hours. I don't think we've ever tried to do an analysis on how many hours these ambulances and fire engines have provided, but I don't have a problem with approving this today, just because I know how careful the department is in getting, the best bang for our buck that we can, and the fact that, we wait as long as we do, and, even though we're bringing in almost $1 million in revenue, I would like to see us, and we've talked about it before, but I would like to see us take maybe 5% of our revenues and start putting it in to a fund so we can have a comprehensive replacement vehicle fund.
Yes.
So I maybe we can really look at that during budget time. But anyway, again, you know, thank you.
Well, just to give you an idea on the vehicles and how they're maintained, the one vehicle that was taken in, has been taken in for the transfers to Tucson, we've been changing the oil, the engine oil on an ambulance every 2 weeks. That's how many miles we put on. So that's how, I mean, we're real up on trying to do the maintenance because we know we have to make them last a long time.
Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Didn't we just buy an engine for a vehicle?
Yes, that's correct.
Which vehicle?
It's the one that's doing the transfers now.
The 99?
No, it's the 2004, I believe.
And is that was that one of the vehicles that you mentioned had a lot of miles on it?
Yes.
How many miles?
The 2004's got 310,000.
How many miles on the engine?
On the engine on that, I think it's got about 70,000 miles on that motor now. On that ambulance there. I couldn't tell you exactly, but I'd have to check. But it's about 70,000 miles on that motor.
A comment was made earlier about our ability to buy trucks for the recycling program and that in possible anticipation for this item. Well, those trucks were purchased. Andy explained how those trucks were purchased with the money that he raised through the the recycling. So I think that was kind of just thrown out there and needed clarity. I don't deny the fact that inter-facility transfers bring in money, but they also, that we're talking about right now, they also create the overtime that we have to pay, and they also create all the wear and tear on these vehicles. So, you know, either or,
right.
You know, we needed to have this, and we got to have it to be able to do that. As far as this vehicle, it's also really bad timing. It's like right before we start talking about budgets, and it's the first time that I'd seen, heard anything about a potential vehicle purchase. I think it's just bad timing. I don't deny the fact that we probably need one. We most likely need one. But I think some clarity has been shed on the vehicle that we're using, and it has hundreds of thousands of miles on it, but actually there's only 70,000 miles on that engine. So, I mean clear things like that are... help us make a decision,
sure.
And certainly help me make decisions. So I appreciate your time, Chief, and I appreciate the report. Thank you.
And that was one reason that we were, you know, we've spent a lot of money repairing vehicles, and that's another reason why we feel it's necessary to purchase one, because we spent a lot of money on fixing ambulances and motors and stuff like that, and, you know, it's, do we spend, you know, good money after bad? You know, it's just, it's one of those things where we get to a point where it just happened that this is when we're doing it. We didn't try to time it around budget time or nothing, because I know that we've paid off our 2010 ambulance, which was the lease purchase, and we tried to time it so that when the new budget came forward, that we would just continue the lease purchase as if we still had a lease purchase. So in other words, we would still be paying for an ambulance, and we wouldn't see a big difference in a cost on this, because we just paid off the 2010, and it's usually a 5-year lease purchase. So that's why it was timing as far as, you know, how to pay for it, but not budget-wise, but, I mean, as far as finishing the paying off the 2010 and then trying to acquire another one so that we didn't see a big difference in what we're paying on it yearly. That's why we tried to do that as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mayor.
I'm going to speak to the public on this on a real common sense sort of thing. I've never had to have an ambulance come and get me, but if I was a member of the public out there, if I had a choice, I think I'd take that new ambulance to come get me instead of one with almost 300,000 miles on. So I think it's essential that we do this. It's important. This is about the safety and protection of our community, and we're starting to put a price tag on it, and sometimes I think should be a price tag on it, saving lives, and that's the most important thing of all. Councilmember Clark.
Mayor, if I might give you an example, last night, yesterday we ran 13 calls. Last night we had a call where they had a pursuit of a vehicle down by the port of entry in Naco. Okay. The vehicle crashed into a border patrol, and we were requested to go down there. We had three patients. Okay. During that time, we had a call on Santa Cruz Drive. We had a call at the table up in Old Bisbee, and we had an ambulance in Tucson. Okay. We went to the port of entry. We went to Santa Cruz Drive for a severely ill lady, covered that, and we sent an engine uptown to the table to take care of the lady till we can get the ambulance loose to transport that lady. So they're necessary, and it's just we face that all the time, and certainly it's not because we want something new. It's because we need something, and that's why we're here.
Exactly. Councilmember Klein.
Thank you, Chief, for we heard all the sirens and everything yesterday and knew something, you know, serious was going on. But, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. That's the way the days run. And you can't, you know, always, you know what's going to happen. So it is best to have the equipment that we need and the personnel that we need. But as far as this ambulance that we're talking about right now, I believe that our city manager has brought that up before in his reports and stuff to us, that this would be coming up once we fulfilled the final payment on the other lease purchase. So it's not new.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Dowdy.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes when our cars break down and we nickel and dime to death to get them repaired, are we doing the same thing with our ambulances? Is it going to cost us more to repair them than to get a new one?
And that's exactly why, one of the reasons we're doing this. We spend a lot of money repairing our ambulances. And it gets to a point where you just keep throwing money after them and money after them. Yeah. And just so you're aware, what our plans are to do with this new ambulance is, it would take the place of Medic 81 at Station 81, and the 2010 would go uptown, and we'd rotate the ambulances to do the transfers. So the lower mileage ambulances would do for the transfers. So we're trying to, you know, we try to minimize using for example, the 2010's got 74,000 miles, and we don't like to take it out of town because we try to preserve the miles mm-hmm. on them. So we do our best to try to work this as best we can. We just stay very busy.
We need to do something for the safety of our citizens and also for the safety of our fire department.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hansen.
Do we have this in our budget in order to pay for a lease on this? There's no information about the physical
that lease impact. Yes, ma'am. That lease purchase money is I ask Sharon, but it's in the budget. It's going to continue on in the budget. It doesn't come out of our budget directly, but it's, I don't know what fund it's in, but as far as the lease purchase, she might be able to explain it.
We'll wait for the finance director, Ms. Buono, to come up to the podium.
And as council member, mayor and council, one of the things I wanted to point out is that the lease purchase payment, we're paying approximately $15,000 twice a year. And so, as the chief has stated, we have been paying that for the last 5 years, and that $15,000 payment twice per year will, quite frankly, continue. Now, we did talk about surplus vehicles that we have, and so as we surplus those particular vehicles, the goal is to take that surplus money and, hey, that's another debt service payment that we can use to throw at, like a better term, one of those lease purchase payments. And we also have to consider the fact that we've got quite a bit quite a few vehicles out at the yard that, as we go through this process, identifying, hey, what are the higher value vehicles that are out there, and let's start surplusing that stuff. And the chief and I, we were out at the yard probably, three Fridays ago, trying to identify, hey, which one of these vehicles will get us, net us the most amount of money so that we can start using those funds to start paying down some of the debt service that we have as it relates to public safety vehicles. So, Basham, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Ms. Bonham?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It is in the budget right now. I think we have one more payment left. One of the reasons that we were bringing this forward is in order to get the vehicle ordered and entered into a contract, and it would just be budgeted probably the same amount in next year's budget. So we're going to need to know that when we develop the budget in April, May for next year. So these debt service payments, if the council decides to go forward, will need to be in that budget. So right now, yes, this current ambulance, the 2010 he's talking about, that is in the budget.
When for we this year.
This year, but when we make that last payment, we just want to pick up right again next year with the next debt service payment for an ambulance if the council chooses to go that way.
Well, my concern is the fact that our, as Council Member Dunn said, our budget next year is going to be very, very tight.
It is.
And now we're obligating ourselves to at least $15,000 twice a year, or $30,000
a
year for a new vehicle. And I know they're needed, but I'm just not sure how we're going to be able to absorb that cost. I would really like more information on the cost analysis that Council Member Sullivan was talking about on the transfers to see, is that what's causing all these problems with our vehicles? Is that, you know, because they're very high mileage, and we do a lot of transfers, so obviously that's going to put a lot of mileage on the vehicles. And I would like to see what we're getting out of it as opposed to what we're paying for it before, you know, making a decision.
We did an analysis of that about 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
2 years.
right when we lost C, and that was the first thing I stepped into. What we make right now, the guesstimation is about $900 profit on a run. Now, there's a lot of factors that influence that, and we went over it, and I worked with Mr. Smith when he was on the council, and we'll be more than happy to revisit those numbers. Salaries have changed. Personnel has changed. If we decide to purchase a new ambulance, that's going to change those numbers. Because one of the things that you're looking at those numbers is depreciation and all of that. Mm-hmm. Our ambulances right now are almost fully depreciated, so our costs are down. Once you start adding a new ambulance, it changes the mix. But, you know, I'd be happy. It's just really updating some information. Our insurance costs for our ambulances, we're lucky. It's one of the lowest. We're part of the mm-hmm. pool. So when we were going through this process, Arizona Ambulance contacted me, and they couldn't believe how good our rates are. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. But, you know, if council, you know, directs us to review that, we can do that. But it's definitely making money for us at this point.
Council Member Dowdy.
Can we use RICO funds for that?
No, we can't use RICO funds for that. RICO funds are for basically our police department. And the last two vehicles that we got, the payments are being already made by RICO. And we rely on that. We have, I want to say, two or three more years on those. So. And I don't think that we can legally share RICO with the fire department any more than we can take police vehicles for administrative purposes. There's restrictions on that money.
Any other council member?
Yes, Mayor, I guess I would like to table this. I mean, I really would like a more informative packet. I think too often when we discuss public safety, we make decisions because emotional decisions, because it's hard not to. I mean, we're talking about life and death. Yeah. It's very hard not to. But certainly we've made statements like we spend a lot of money on repairs. We make this, we lose this, and so forth. Again, this was presented to us with, certainly it's very informative, the interaction we've had right here this evening, but we did not have that prior in our packets in terms of making this decision. And I would like to see a packet put together that includes these things we've talked about this evening and other things you can anticipate in terms of making the case for this ambulance. How long are we going to be paying that? What kind of a commitment are we making? How many years in terms of having this paid off? We'll be budgeting $30,000 a year for
next 5 years.
Yeah.
And we can look at those, but I didn't really go into the hard financing because I wanted to see which way we were going. And we can come up with the amortizations of the loans, you know, mm-hmm. and do an analysis of, you know, 5 years versus 7 years versus 3 years, and what the interest rates are out there for these vehicles. I think it's fairly low, or it was in 2010, the interest rate, yeah, about 3.5%. So we'll do that.
Certainly I'm supportive of this ambulance. I just would like more information. I think we owe it to the citizens in terms of providing more information and helping them see the importance of this this purchase. I would like to move we table this.
A second.
We have a motion and a second to table. Ms. Coronado, on this item, I'd like to have a roll call vote.
Council Member Connors?
Aye.
Council Member Hansen?
Aye.
Council Member Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Council Member Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Nay. Motion passes 5-2.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Cool. Item number 6, discussion and possible approval of the contract for services with LEAP, Leap Institute for Operation of the City Pool 2015 season. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm a member of the council. What you have before you is our annual agreement with the LEAP program. As you know, they provide the service of overseeing the swimming pool for a period from May 1st to September 7th of this year. Joni Giacomino, she's here to kind of discuss and provide any additional details or answer any questions that you all may have on this particular item.
Ms. Giacomino.
Yes. Do you have any questions? We've been doing this now. This is going on our third year, if you approve the contract. We started LEAP 4 years ago, and after our first year, we decided to make an offer to the city to contract the city pool. We run it based off of the revenues that are brought in, plus donations and fundraisers. This year, we were awarded a $25,000 grant from Freeport to help offset some of the cost of the pool also, which is going to allow us to provide a program to, not for a better term, provide readiness skills for the youth of Bisbee on different jobs. We're going to be offering resume writing and other things also through this program. It ties the swimming pool into it because all of my kids, say maybe one, are children from Bisbee. They range from 15 years of age that are employed, those are my lifeguards, up to, I believe, my oldest lifeguard is 21, who's in college still, all Bisbee residents. It provides the kids with a different form of work other than food service, which is pretty much the only job in this town for kids. It's a job that can carry over and for as long as they want. I've been doing it for 42 years. I got my first certification at the rec center in 1973, so it's a longevity job if you want it. We'd like to take over the pool on May 1st, making sure that all the solar panels are functioning so that I can start my training, in-water training of lifeguards. I train all the lifeguards. I train the water safety instructors. Those are the swim teachers. And we generally ask to contract out through Labor Day if we have the staff. I know there was a concern that was made that, you know, we don't offer enough hours, but people don't realize that my staff are kids. 90% of my kids are athletes. And once school starts, which is that first week in August, which I don't agree with, but anyway. There are athletes, so they have to go back and they compete. They're either cheerleaders or they're, you know, volleyball players or they're football players. So they have practice after school. So those kids that I can maintain to keep the pool open as long as I can are the kids that go to college. And I only have this year potentially 3 kids, maybe 4, that'll be able to stay on. And then once school starts, which is about the third week in August, I have no staff. It is not a facility that can be run on volunteer lifeguards, which has been requested in the past. You are a municipality. You have liability issues. Your trust would freak out if we even tried that. The insurance that I get for the pool also, because we also carry another insurance policy, wouldn't allow it. So it's all based on the bodies that I can train and get put into place and as long as I can keep them. That is what dictates how long I can keep the pool open. I mean, it'd be great to be able to keep it open into September. I know Indian summer's nice, but again, we just have no staff. I encourage any adult that would like to come take the course with the kids. But the fact is, if you're a lifeguard, you can't swim. You know, you have to sit and watch the pool. So.
Any questions or comments from the council?
Would you clarify, certainly the agenda indicates that the city is providing $3,500 for liability insurance, and you made reference just now, and also in your report it says that LEAP also provides liability insurance.
Okay, that was part of the contract. In order for us to be able to do it, the city pays offsets that insurance. I do think that is ours because originally the first year that we did it, we paid for it. It was a cost we could not incur. We're a nonprofit. Again, we are based on fundraisers, donations, and such. And in the deal that we made with the city 2 years ago, they would pay that. They paid the water. They paid the electricity and the chlorine. We, in turn, any revenue brought in, swimming lessons, lifeguard classes, admissions at the door, concession stand, that all rolls back into, like, a, what's that thing called? The city's recycling. What are they called?
Not a slush fund, no.
What's it called when it goes back into it? What's the recycling? What are they called?
Enterprise.
Oh, okay. It's almost like an enterprise thing. Anything that we bring in goes directly back. We brought in just shy of our covering last year, and then, of course, we had our donations and our fundraisers and stuff that offset that. So we've been very, lucky, but we've been fortunate to meet our costs. Which has been great, so we've been able to keep the swimming pool open. And like I said, we do provide swim lessons. And this year, I'm in the process of applying for a grant through the American Swim Association. And if it goes through, we'll be able to offer free swim lessons. We have to join the organization, and then we submit applications out to the public, and they write a little synopsis why they feel they need swim lessons. And then we have to submit those, and then we'll know if we get paid. But we can get up to $500 worth of free life jackets and $5,000 worth of swim lessons if we qualify. So that's something I'm also pursuing right now.
Councilmember Klein.
I just want to commend Ms. Giacomino and LEAP for the job that they do up there. I mean, they do a tremendous they have such a high volume of kids. I mean, it's amazing. I think every kid that lives in Bisbee is up there every day, all day. And our prices actually for admission are low because I know it at the Cove and other places you pay and it's only for, what, I think 4 hours? You know, of course, if you're 18 and under, you can get in for free. But anybody else that does pay, they can be there all day just for the one admission fee. And kudos on the grant. I mean, I think that's a great job. And if you can get the other grant for the swim lessons, I think that's just amazing. So thank you for everything you do.
That is one thing that is in the new contract that we wrote up this year and submitted. Last year when we had submitted, or I should say 2 years ago when we submitted the contract, one of the things that we submitted was that they were charging $5 for a night swim, $4 for everybody in lap swim, and that was everybody. That was seniors, that was kids, the whole thing. And one of the recommendations I'm making this year is to let the night swim be dictated by the event. For instance, $5 night swim, two pieces of pizza and swimming, you know, or $3 for night swim, you know, whatever. We could dictate that, and it's in the contract. Also making lap swim general admission price. So what you pay as a general admission price, you would also pay at lap swim, but it's at lap swim time. Not so that we have all these varying costs. Another change that I'd asked for, there was a mix-up when we done the original contract on our passes. We do offer, they're not truly passes, they're kind of pre-purchases. And the way the contract was written, they were a little bit more expensive, and I want to go back to what our original was, where you pay for 20 but get 25, you pay for 10 but get 12. And it's a much better deal for the swimmers. We had done that accidentally the first year, and I found I got called on it because I wasn't doing it correctly. I was giving them a better deal than what was written. So I'd like to go to that, and that's submitted into that contract. It worked out better for the lap swimmers, and the lap swimmers do utilize it quite a bit. We do have a large volume of lap swimmers that come in. So, and there's been, I think, an hour change maybe on the hours again. It's all in the contract that we submitted. So.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Dowdy.
Joni, I just want to say that you're doing an excellent job at the pool. I've heard a lot of stories about you. And I would like to make a motion.
Could I make a comment?
Councilmember Hansen.
I just wanted to add my thanks for
all that you have done, not only for the pool, but also for the children in, or the kids, children, youth in Bisbee. It's been wonderful to see another option for kids during the summer during the school year.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Council Member Dowdy.
I move that we approve the contract for services with the LEAP Institute for the operation of the city pool for the 2015 season.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Giacomino.
Can I say one thing? It's kind of sort of related, but not really. A few years back, about 6 years ago, unfortunately, because of how lockers were installed at the pool, this was before LEAP had it, I had a locker bank of approximately 8 big metal lockers fall on my child. She was about 8 years old at the time. Squished her real good, smushed her in a locker, and we had to use Bisbee Ambulance Service. And I have nothing but kudos about our Bisbee service, had it not been for our fire department and our wonderful EMTs and their fantastic response time. Mm-hmm. I would have been a lot more freaked out than I was. I really recommend that you guys, I know you have to look at your numbers and such, but I cannot recommend more to do whatever you can for this fire department. This is one of the best fire departments, response time. Really great guys, and I can speak from experience because, like I said, my kid got squished. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Item number 7, discussion and possible approval of the Arizona Department of Corrections inmate work contract number 15-057-19, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor. What you have before you is a 5-year contract with the Arizona Department of Corrections. Some of you may recall not long before Mayor Badal transitioned out, you all approved the execution of somewhat of a bridge agreement that had expired, and so now we're actually bringing back the new contract. Ms. Carl worked feverishly and did a heck of a job in working with the procurement folks with the state, specifically in the Department of Corrections. And so, as you know, the inmate labor that we use and we've come to rely on quite a bit is quite a workforce for us, especially within the area of public works. And so and that's what you have before you. I'm requesting approval tonight.
Just a question, just out of curiosity. On any given day, just give me a ballpark figure. I don't know how many are out there. How many inmates do we utilize maybe like on a Tuesday, like 25? It's a ballpark figure. It probably varies.
Yeah, it varies, but upwards of 20, I would say employees, inmates. The rate doesn't change. It's still 50 cents an hour. And there are various skill sets that many of the inmates do have before they went into prison for whatever reason. But many, it's honestly, and it's come to become a sort of a rehabilitation process for some of them. I know since I've been here, 2 of them have gone on and worked and are working for KENG and another went up to Metro Phoenix area and is now gainfully employed and able to apply some of the skill sets or reinvigorate the skill sets that many of them had before they went in. And so, you know, we've had some challenges, and one of the things that's come out of this process is the opening the door of dialogue with the department. So on a monthly basis, we're now meeting with either the deputy warden and lieutenants and captains on a monthly basis to talk about, you know, issues, challenges, or changes. And they've been extremely responsive to us since we really started talking about a new agreement. So,
thank you. I know many inmates would come out and just to get out of their environment would come out and work in the communities, but I will say that I don't think 50 cents an hour is a good teacher for the work ethic in our society. It's just a statement. Any other comments from the council?
I guess I like to recommend that we do something, direct staff to do something to commend individually these persons. I mean, we just could not provide the level on behalf of the council.
We couldn't.
On behalf of council to thank them individually, not just as a group, but individually, mm-hmm. because certainly we just could not provide the level of service that we do in this community without our inmate. And every time that I'm around them, I'm always amazed. They're the first to jump in. I mean, they don't wait to be asked by their supervisor to do something. They just jump in and do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very. I mean, we were just extremely fortunate, and I would like to do something, and I'm not quite sure of what, in terms of conveying council's gratitude to them individually.
Certainly, and we can certainly take a look at it. You know, one of the things, and obviously money isn't the motivator here, but to get out of four walls, I don't know how many feet a cell is, that's incentive enough for many of them. And what you'll have the leadership at DOC, they'll say, you know, a tired inmate is a good inmate. And so many of these employees, I mean, prisoners, if you will, they work incredibly hard. Hard, and I've come to realize and appreciate the talent and skill set of a lot of the folks that have been assigned to the city of Bisbee, even from a vehicle maintenance standpoint. They've been quite a resource for us.
They truly have. I appreciate Councilmember Dunn's comments on that particular subject matter. Councilmember Klein, did you have a comment?
You know, I just want to say that the inmates do an incredible job for us, and you don't realize it until you lose them, like the school district did, and we lost our inmate staff, if you will, and we are really noticing it. So I know that they do an incredible job here, and they do help us a lot. So,
any other comments or questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the Arizona Department of Corrections inmate work contract, number 15-057-19.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Item number 8, discussion of possible approval of the City of Bisbee's participation in the Strategic Alliance and Volume Expenditures SAVE Cooperative Purchase Agreement.
And once again, Mr. Johnson, the city manager.
Sure, Mayor. Thank you. What you have in front of you is an agreement with the Maricopa County Office of Procurement Services. Allows in this program, the Strategic Alliance for Volume Expenditures allows us to, for lack of a better term, piggyback on existing contracts. And here in Cochise County, we're the one municipality that has not had an opportunity to join the program. Our finance director, Sharon Bono, she, you know, by way of her conference, you know, brought this to my attention. It allows us a greater degree of flexibility during the procurement process. And also, it was also brought to my attention that the Bisbee Unified School District is also participating in this program. So it helps us kind of streamline and work a little bit more expediently as it relates to purchasing. There isn't a cost associated with it, but we're just entering into the program. And if we want to get out of it, and just give 30-day notice, and we're done.
I looked at the list of participants, and it's like, first impression, it's like everybody in the state except us. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
That's my only comment, I guess. Any other comments or questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we accept the contract. Sorry, I was on the wrong one. Here we go. I move to approve the Strategic Alliance for Volume Expenditures, SAVE, Cooperative Purchasing Agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Item number 9, discussion and motion to reconsider council's decision to begin 60-day notice period for the interim city attorney.
And Carl, on this particular agenda item, I did not place this on the agenda. Council members Hansen and Sullivan did, so I'm going to defer to either one or both of them.
Do you have anything to say?
Sure. I just wanted to take this opportunity to address my previous vote to retain our legal services with Ms. Carl, because I received a lot of input from the public just questioning what happened since our decision was made very late at night and most people were gone by the time we finished our executive session. And I wanted to thank her for her services publicly, and I just wanted to let you know that I think you're a wonderful attorney. And the decision we made not to retain you is no reflection of your caliber of work here for us. You're a very good lawyer, and you've done everything that we have asked and required of you. I believe your efforts here have been beyond reproach, and you deserve the highest praise and appreciation for doing that and nothing less. Due to circumstances that, as you know, I can't disclose here, just wasn't going to work out. And I just wanted to thank you and also open up the opportunity to think about the 60-day notice period and see if we wanted to change that according to some other time that council would like, or Anne may have input on that.
Councilmember Hansen.
I would also, you'll have to pardon me, allergies just affect my throat, so I'm having trouble speaking. I had requested the agenda item to allow Ms. Carl that opportunity to provide us input as to how she would like to proceed as the interim city attorney. I also wanted to comment on the decision to seek a permanent city attorney from other sources. I did vote not to retain Ms. Carl's services as a city attorney, but not because Ms. Carl isn't a competent and experienced attorney. My vote was in no way a reflection on her ability as an attorney. The decision was simply made to go in another direction as to the hiring of a city attorney. And I wanted to make sure that the public understood that. And obviously, since this was done in executive session, I can't elaborate any more on details. But I really liken it to a no-fault divorce. And nobody's at fault. Or everybody's at fault, whichever way you want to look at it. But I also want to thank you for your services to the city of Bisbee and would like to know how you would like to proceed.
Well, I want to thank both of you for putting this back on the agenda. I really appreciate it. And I was just going to say I would like as clean and helpful a transition as possible. So if the 60-day notice period is not workable for you, if, for example, you have someone lined up to work sooner than that, I will certainly bow out gracefully sooner than the 60 days. If you have, any reason to need me beyond that for a special project or something like that, I would certainly entertain that idea too. So I don't want you to feel hamstrung by the 60 days.
Do we have a motion? Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the time. And thank you, Ms. Carl. I appreciate your services. You and I have spoken more than one time for a long time on the phone. And I absolutely, positively echo exactly what Serena Sullivan and Joan Hansen have said. And I think that the city would be remiss if we didn't ask on any competent attorney to help us going forward, in the future with any kind of expertise in a given predicament that we could be in. So thank you for being as classy as you are.
Thank you.
On behalf of the city, I want to thank you for your services as the interim city attorney. We appreciate that. Any other comments or questions from the council? I'm not sure if this is a motion item. Okay, any other comments? No? We'll go to item number 10. Discussion of possible approval for a letter of recommendation for the interim city attorney and Carl, should one be requested. Once again, this was placed on the agenda by council members Sullivan and Hansen, and I will defer to either one of you.
Well, originally I thought it was going to be all one agenda item, and I think that was the confusion with the motion. So I just wanted to, if Anne would like one, I think she deserves a letter of recommendation with the highest acclaim.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And I think one would be helpful. I mean, coming from the council, I think I certainly would appreciate it.
Do those come after they leave, or do they come while they're still employed?
Ms. Carl, would you want to comment on that? You're the city attorney.
it's fine. It doesn't matter at what point in time. I'm flexible.
Any other comments or questions? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve a letter of recommendation for the interim city attorney and Carl.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 11, City Manager's Report.
Sure. Mayor and Council, Mark Appel, Chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission, had asked that I announce and just remind everyone that of our general plan meeting on the 19th for discussion to talk about the general plan update. If there are any questions, come out and hear, listen, provide feedback and input. The second item, as I sent out an email and with a survey for our strategic planning session that we scheduled for March the 27th, attached to the email, please, if you get a moment to complete the survey, it's very instrumental in helping us develop a framework as we start the process. And that same email went out to department heads and a few stakeholders in the community. So, but I just want to emphasize the importance of completing that survey is really paramount to helping drive the discussion on the 27th at 9 o'clock.
I did complete the survey, and after I hit submit, I had about 1,000 other things I wanted to say. So they're going to come up.
Okay. Okay.
So they didn't get put in there.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. So.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.